We are such a quiet group.
Yes.
Are you enthusiastic about the Lord?
Amen.
Amen.
Do you like the victory that we have in Jesus?
Amen.
Do you believe that we're more than conquerors?
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to put anybody out of their comfort zone, but I want to prime the pump. Next week is Popcorn Praise. And I think it would be wonderful if some of you would get up and give a shortened version of your testimony. I say shortened because I know some of us, if you don't want to get me started, can be pretty long. But Popcorn Praise is short praises that we get up and we praise God. And so we're so used to being quiet and sedate in church and listening instead of involving. I want us to all get involved. And so that's why I'm down here trying to poke the fire and stir the embers and hoping that you'll come in glowing with the praise of God. Yeah.
But you won't call on them, so they shouldn't be scared away.
No. Do not make sure that you're here. I try not, to the best of my ability, to put anybody on the spot. If I do put somebody on the spot, usually it's because I've already talked to them. So if you think I'm doing that, no. You're safe if you want to just sit. But I do like to see you all get involved. So this morning is going to be something a little bit different. It's a sermon, but it's maybe not in its normal style. And I want you also all to know that starting after next week, we're going to go into a whole series on Christmas. Christmas is an important time of the year. It's an important time for us to reflect on what God gave up in order to give to us. And so we're going to spend 3 weeks on going through the Christmas story, the Christmas event, and trying to build up a attitude of praise so that on Christmas Day, it's more than just family. It's more than just a tree. It's more than decorations. It's more than presents. It's a realization of the greatest present that has ever been given to mankind. And that would just overwhelm our hearts and minds as we go into that season. But today is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So I thought, let's talk about Thanksgiving. Wouldn't that be appropriate? So with Thanksgiving Day celebrations upon us, we begin to look at the past year and reflect on all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us during the last year. In fact, my family has a tradition. At the Thanksgiving table, when all are seated and everything, before we even get to take a lick of any of that good food, everyone is required to share something they're thankful for in the past year. From the littlest to the oldest, which is me, by the way. So that is a tradition that we have. I would hope that might be a tradition at your house. But you know, there is a commandment from God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God wants to see you giving thanks. It should be something we do continually. On that first Thanksgiving Day in 1621, the pilgrim gave thanks for their new friends, the Indians, that helped them survive through that first winter and helped them to get their crops going in the spring. But let us remember that 45% of the original settlers had died the previous year. 45 out of 102. Can I be this bold and say that if this was a group of pilgrims that started out, this group died off? Imagine that. I'll let that reflect on your hearts and let you be reminded that they were thankful that God had spared them. God has spared each and every one of us. He's spared us and given us life today, but he's also spared us because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And what I want to do today is I want to take us to looking at what we have to be thankful for. Just in the gift that God has given us, eternal life. Now, if I go through some of this and some of this seems foreign to you, I want you to ask yourself, am I truly saved? Oh, maybe you've been coming to church. That's fine. That's good. But if you've never received Christ as your Savior, this is a time for you to realize the greatest gift that God has ever given. So let's take a look and let's talk about the fact that initially, one of the things that we need to be given thanks for in regards to our salvation is the fact that we were abhorrent. Wow, there's a big word, isn't it? Which means God didn't like us. Okay? And so if we go and we take a look, we in and of ourselves are unable to please God, and therefore would have been eternally separated from him and his blessing if God hadn't initiated the first steps. If we go to Romans chapter 11, we're going to go through quite a few verses today. So if you want to, you know, lick your fingers and get those things working, you're welcome to. I will try to give you every chance to find Romans 11, verses 30 through 32. As we read there, "For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." The very first thing that we need to be thankful for is the fact that God has given us the ability to believe. God forces no man. And the rest of the world is out there in unbelief. They wonder, why are these people going to church on Sunday when they could be sitting at home watching football? Or they could be out playing, and they could be going to the high places and wandering out in the wilderness. But God has delivered us from unbelief. That's something to be thankful for. Can you be thankful for that?
Amen.
You can, yeah? Okay, so we want to be thankful that God has not given us over to unbelief, but he's brought us to the point of belief. We are incapable of reaching God. God had to reach us. In fact, in Romans 3:10, it says, "And it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." You know what that's saying? And even this man in the pulpit that's preaching the word of God to you is in and of himself not righteous enough to ever be able to go into the presence of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. You know what it says? Doeth good. All of us are involved in doing good things. I do good things. If some of you like some of the good things I do, right? But those good things are not enough. Those good things are not going to balance the way that I have rebelled against God and refused to do his will. And so we need to be thankful that God has delivered us from unbelief and that we're no longer abhorrent in God's eyes. In fact, we are unable to meet the righteous requirements of God. And even our best efforts end up looking like filthy rags to God. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." You recognize what a wonderful thing God has done in solving that problem of your abhorrence. How that even with your best effort, you couldn't even begin to please God, because even your best effort was full of selfishness. And so the very first thing we need to praise God for is, God, thank you for allowing me to be considered to be able to believe. Every single person, God wants that for. So the next thing that we need to be thankful for is his atoning. Okay, atoning is a big word, and I don't expect you to understand it at this point. So I'm going to do some explaining to get us to the point that you understand what atoning is, right? We were abhorrent. He saved us from that. Now we're talking about his. Yet God, because of what Jesus has done, via our willingness to put our faith and trust in the work he completed on the cross, gives us his righteousness. Let's think about this now. We talked about the fact that I was abhorrent, that in God's eyes I was totally disgusting. I was ugly. I was undesirable. I was to be thrown away. And now, because of what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, God says, your sins are covered. The righteousness of this perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, is put upon you. You are now clothed in garments of white. And this is the gift I give you. His atoning, his covering, and putting the righteousness of Christ, and covering us with the righteousness of Christ. You are righteous in God's eyes. Is that something to thank God for?
Amen.
Is it?
Amen.
Come on now, let's get involved here.
Amen.
I don't want anybody going to sleep. We need to be thanking God for all that he's given us. He's made us, he's
delivered us from abhorrence. He's covered us with the righteousness of Christ. These are great things.
These are exciting things that God has given to us. Let's move on. We got more to discover in Philippians 3:9. Philippians 3:9. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, New Testament. Okay? Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's one of those, what do they call those? I want to say acronym, but that's not what it is. A learning tool. There you go. Thanks, Teach. So Philippians 3:9 says that we might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. In other words, I worked for it. But that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So do you understand? We are abhorrent, so therefore we could never meet God's standards. So God says, in order for you to meet your standards, I'm going to cover you with the righteousness of God, that we might be found in him. Significance. Wonders. The other thing is we need to realize is we need to give thanks for the fact that God has acquitted us. Ooh, another big word. They're all A's, so I had that. I had to go to the big word dictionary to find some A's. That helps in remembering the points, supposedly. So as a result of that faith, that righteousness that he's put upon us, now when we go before him, he can't say, now, I know that you are not perfect, and I saw, and you got to pay for this sin, right? And so instead, God acquits us. He acquits us of the liability for that sin. In fact, it says here in Romans 8:1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's talk about this condemnation. Okay? Today the world is out and it's chasing our political system. They're condemning each other. The Republicans are condemning the Democrats. The Democrats are and the president's blaming all of them. And blame. Condemnation. That's what it is. Right? But Jesus says, now there is no condemnation to those of us who believe. In other words, no one can hold it against us. Why? Because we've been covered with the righteousness of God. Right? We are no longer abhorrent to him. And we all say, praise the Lord. Right? We praise the Lord because he has covered us. Not only has he covered us, but he's freed us. He's acquitted us of all the things that we have done wrong. This is a blessing beyond blessing. In fact, that verse that we know so well, the verse that is in every single football game that you've ever been to, every basketball game, somebody somewhere puts up John 3:16, which is a great verse. But let's take it all the way to verse 18 and look at how God has acquitted us. Okay? John 3:16. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You feel that love. You feel that gift, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So it was a gift so that we would do what?
Not perish.
We wouldn't be eternally separated from him. That's what perishing is. It's not dying. It's being eternally separated from God. They would not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you imagine? Everlasting life. Now, not this physical body that we know right now, but that eternal body. That body that God has washed and cleansed from all sin. That body that he has recreated through the resurrection power of Christ. That ever gives us everlasting. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't want to say, you're worthy of going to hell. He has to say that, but he doesn't want to say that. In fact, when he made hell, he didn't make it hell for people. He made hell for the Satan and the fallen angels that were with him. But when we line up with them, guess what we get to do? We get to line up with them and head where they're headed. Unless we believe. Unless we find that we are acquitted of our sins. Right? And so, but that the world through him might be saved, he that believeth on him, the necessity of salvation, the necessity of faith in Christ. Are you thankful for your salvation? Are you thankful that you've been able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So remember I talked about the thank God that we're not abhorrent? Okay, that's the idea. We were abhorrent. Do you realize it? That God had no reason to reach out and save you. But because he loved you, because he cared for you, he's provided everything that's absolutely necessary. And all of us should be saying, thank God for this great gift. Forget all the other blessings that come with us. Let's just thank God for the great gift of salvation and the fact that he's acquitted us of our sins. He's covered us. We can thank him for his atonement. We are no longer guilty. Our punishment was laid on him on the cross of Calvary as he went down the Via Della Rosa, the road of suffering. The path of suffering was for us. It was for the world. The power and the gifts are out there, but they're only applied when people ask. Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to atone for your sins? Isaiah chapter 53, Old Testament, past the book of Psalms, first major prophet. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Reads this way. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all. Now we talked about the fact that God covers us with his righteousness, that he doesn't acquit us, but here's another thing that we need to realize, is that all that we've ever done wrong, all that we've ever done this in spite of God's work in us, Jesus paid that price. He paid your price. He paid your bill. Imagine, if you will, you're sitting there and you're in $1 million of a debt. And the bank's coming after your house. Your creditors are coming after you. They want your money and they want it now. And you say, I can't. And then steps Jesus Christ and says, on Calvary, I earned all that was necessary to pay your debt in full. How are you going to react to that? No, you're not. You're going to want to stand up and jump up and down. Come on, man. Stand up and jump up and down. Why are we so quiet in church when we can be so excited of all that God has given us? These are the gifts that he's given us. This is what we need to be thankful for.
Amen.
If you're not going to get excited, I'll get excited for you. Oh, yes, that's right. We're Baptists. We have to behave ourselves.
We're not supposed to get excited. Nobody told him. He was raised a Catholic.
I'll stay away from any comments on that subject. But he's given us his atonement, right? That's what? 1, 2, 3, 4 points already. I got more to go. What a great gift we have. Why are we sitting quiet? Why are we excited about our Lord and all that he's given us? Why are we singing him praises? Next week you're going to sing him praises. Maybe somebody wants to give up and sing their favorite song. Doesn't have to be on tune and it doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be from the heart. We kind of talked about this one already, but we'll go back to it. It's worthy of touching. God's amnesty. Right? Every year, the president has the ability to give somebody forgiveness and free them from all that they've done wrong. He can pick somebody. In fact, I believe a turkey was given amnesty this week, wasn't he? He didn't have to go to the turkey table. He didn't have to be slaughtered. He was forgiven. So his sacrifice allows us to be able to divorce ourselves from our sins as far as the east is from the west. In fact, it says in Psalm 103, verse 12, middle of the Bible, the book of Psalms, not Psalm, Psalms, 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, How far is the east from the west?
A long way.
They never touch, do they? If you go east all the way around till you think you're in the west, you've still got more east, right? So our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. As one song says, from one hand to the other. That's how far God has separated our sins from us. Is that something to praise God for? Not only did he pay the price, not only did he cover us with his righteousness, but now he says, I am going to separate you from your sins. You know what the biggest problem is?
God comes along. He says, this is your sin. Right? Separate it from you. Well, what happens? Oh, we go over here and pick it back up again. And God says, leave it alone! What amnesty is that? God is separating as far as the east is from the west. That's what he's done for us. And all God's people said,
amen.
All right. Praise God. This is exciting stuff. This is a blessing that is ours. Take it to the Thanksgiving table.
Jeremiah 31, 34. Jeremiah is the second major prophet. Okay, so you got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah. Lamentations is in there somewhere. No, Lamentation comes after Jeremiah. Anyhow, right there about 3/4 of the way through, Old Testament. And he says, Jeremiah 31, 34 says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest. Now, God is talking about the end times when we're in the millennial kingdom, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their sin and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, Lord, give me that mind that I don't remember my sin. I hold it against myself. I beat myself up with it. But God says no more. As far as the east is from the west, I will not remember your sin. Isn't that a wonderful act of amnesty that he has given to us through the great gift of salvation? His sacrifice makes readily available any benefits, the wisdom and the ability to understand and apply to our failures.
His everlasting mercy. His mercy. What is it about mercy that we don't like? We love grace, but most of us don't like mercy. Because mercy entails the fact that we are willing to admit that we've done something wrong. Even though we're saved, we still think we got it together, and I don't need to do that. Many people won't come to the altar because they're afraid people will condemn them for having sin in their life, when every single one of us know that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In fact, if we go to, I believe it's Psalm, I have to go up to my, let me go up to my notes.
Frail mind. In Psalm 136, you don't have to go there. I'll just tell you what it's about. In Psalm 136, there are 26 verses. And in every one of those 26 verses, the emphasis is, and his mercy endures forever. You see, we need to fall in love. We need to give God praise for the fact that he is willing to show mercy onto us. He's willing to forgive us. Even after we're saved, even after the blood of Christ has been pumped upon our lives, he's willing to forgive us. That's something to praise him for. That's something to give thanks for. You know, that's an awful lot of blessing, isn't it? But God is infinite, so that means our blessings are infinite also. So we got a few more to go through. How about the fact that God gives us his, I had to dig deep to find this one, his acumen. What is that? Is that some type of disease? Acumen is intelligence. He gives us his smartness. And you say, well, how so? I don't feel very smart. I don't feel smart as God. But you have access to it. Turn, if you will, in your scriptures to the next page. No. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. John is one of my favorite gospels. It's the gospel of love. It's the gospel of simplicity. It's the gospel that truly outlines Jesus as God. And so in John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, we read, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." In other words, God is going to begin to reveal the depth of his plan. He's going to reveal his wisdom to us. This is part of the gift that we get with salvation. And there is so much to think about right here. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's told them, "I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die on Calvary. I'm going to suffer. And you're going to be left alone. But I don't want you to feel like you're left alone. I am going to give you the Comforter. And he will teach you and instruct you in the ways thou shalt go. He will be your guide through every course of life." And so we have the ability to learn the will of God. We have the ability to understand the Word of God because of the Holy Spirit that he's placed upon us. And God's people should be saying, "Praise God for the Holy Spirit!" Instead of, "I hope he doesn't convict me." What is his conviction? His conviction is his effort to teach us. Right? That's part of the ministry. Jesus was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to die. He was willing to have his Father turn his back on him. He was willing to go down into the depths of hell and go through all that pain and anguish for us so that he could give us this hope, give us this teacher, give us this comforter. And we just go, "That's interesting. No, come on now. Let's give him some praise over the fact that he's given us the comforter, the instructor. He's promised to teach us and instruct us in the ways we shall go, to guide us with his very..." God is guiding you with his very own eyes. And you say, "Well, then how come I have so much of this trouble?" Because those troubles are what he needs to use to teach you. Right? Ask a teacher if it's easy to teach pupils. They'll say, "No." Especially when parents are getting in the way. I hope you're not one of those. Okay? But God has given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his acumen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This book right here. Yeah, this one. Right? "All scripture is given by inspiration, the very breath of God, and is profitable for..." Doctrine, that's the things we learn, right? "For reproof, that's so that we learn what we're doing wrong. For correction, so that we learn how to overcome what we did wrong. And for instruction and instruction in righteousness, how to keep doing right. Why? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work." Praise God, he's given us the ability to learn. He's given us the ability to look into the Word. He's preserved this Word despite the thousands of trials and testings and persecutions and things that fall out of our Bibles. He's allowed it to stay there so that we can learn. He's preserved it so that we can learn. He's put it in the English language so we can learn. He's put it in almost every language in this world by now. We still have a few to go, so pray for that ministry. Right? So that everyone can hear the Word of God, because God wants to teach us. That is part of the gift of salvation. You could not possibly begin to fathom the truths of God's Word without his revelation, without his Holy Spirit. You could read it all you want, but you'd never get the gist of it without the Comforter. And God's people are going to say, "Praise God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that gift that came when I was saved." He's provided angels to watch over us. So we're not on our own. We're not even dependent upon each other as sinners. He's got these creatures that he's made, these flaming fires. And it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 13 through 14, Hebrews, that's in the New Testament. just a little bit before Revelation. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? None of them is what the answer to that question is. Are they not all ministering? Here's why. Because they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. And we're not talking about the things that aren't on my head. You know, we're talking about heirs, as in the people that inherit something, right? And so God has given angels to watch over every single one of us that has come to know Jesus Christ. Is that something to be excited about?
Amen.
Is that something to give praise to?
Amen.
That sounds really enthusiastic.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. I love you. I love you. I know. And then, you know what happened is all of a sudden you guys will really turn on and I'll get scared and I'll back down now. Calm it down, like you're saying to me right now, right? All right. Okay, so he's given us these people to watch over us. Now, you know what else? He's given us his ancestry. What do you mean by that? Well, we're not eternal. We can't last. We never have existed forever. We can list forever, but we have a beginning. God never had a beginning. So that's not our ancestry. But in John 15:15, it says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not that what his Lord doeth, but I have called you. Anybody?
Friends.
I just want to make sure you're awake. That's all. Okay. Friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Do you understand this mighty and awesome and powerful God? This God that has lived throughout eternity, that has no beginning, that has no end. He is coming up to you and he is saying to you, Joe, you are my friend. In fact, you're not just my friend. Jackie, you're my daughter. What I have is yours. Are we just going to sit around and go, huh, that's nice? No! That's a lot of inheritance. I need to get busy. He's given us the teacher. He's given us the atonement. He's given us the acquittal. All these A's. It's an AAA program. And it's for you and I. We are his children. In fact, if we go to another verse of Scripture, we see that he says in Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then will the Lord take me up. Get this? God says, when everybody else has left you, father and mother, I am going to be your mother. I'm going to be your father. For you, I'm going to be the one that guides you. I'm going to be the one that nurtures you. He is personally interested in us. He's not just sitting up there in the throne behind the curtain going, making things happen. He is personally interested in you. Is that something to get excited about? I think so.
Amen.
And I think you should too. And I want you to take this with you into Thanksgiving. I want you to go to the Thanksgiving table and feel so overwhelmed by all that you've learned that God has given to you that you're going to say, I thank God for my salvation. And the family's going to go, what? But now you're on stage to preach a sermon, to share your faith in Christ. God just is opening up a door. If you'll just talk about these things, that I have a Father in heaven that cares for me. I have a Father in heaven that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he's willing to share some of that with me.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to be part of that also?
Amen.
Oh my goodness, what a blessed thing our salvation is. What a blessed gift. What something to be thankful for.
We get to call him Abba, Father. Forgive me, and some people will take this as a little crude, but you know what? God is our daddy. I can remember I watched this Christian film and the man always refers to God as daddy said. You know? And at first it kind of crinkled me. You know, that's not proper. But think about it. Is it not truth? God is not just a formal dignitary standing up there with all his prim and proper. He's also a down-to-earth walk by your side willing to give you advice. Daddy. And I mean no disrespect in saying that. That is a term of endearment. And we need to remember that we are dear to him. So, is this the last point? Gotta check. Oh yeah, this is the last point, but now we got all kinds of applications, you know. And besides, I got 6 minutes. Because he told me I could preach till noon. Okay, so, I don't know, somebody. So now we have his abiding presence. How many of you have ever felt that moment of loneliness when you spent some time with your friends and you had such a good time and it warmed your heart and it did you so good and they leave? And you don't get to see them for a couple weeks. And you begin to feel chagrined, problemed, like you're missing something. Yet God says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6. I know, it's more than just a phrase. It's a whole two verses. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God isn't going to pick up and leave and say, Judy, where's my coat? Time for me to go home. He won't. He's not going to do that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Anybody need help here?
Amen.
There he is. He's our helper, right? And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I don't care what you people do. I got God on my side. Amen. If he's for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. And he promises to never leave us, never forsake us, to always be with us. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Chapter 31, verse 6. That's the fifth book from the beginning of the Bible. It's the rereading of the law, as is what Deuteronomy means. And it says this: be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will never fail thee nor forsake thee. Don't you just love the way the scriptures go and they change the words around just so that we really get the point that God is never going to leave us alone. Even when we're in a dangerous position, even when we need to have courage to do something, he's there to infuse us, to give us a jolt of God juice and get moving. He's the energizer bunny for us.
Amen.
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a blessing that God's people should be saying.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my goodness, what a great God we serve. And we need to be thankful. We need to be telling the world about what a great God we serve. If we'll get excited about it, then we're going to tell somebody about it, right? You're probably going to go home and talk about, you should have seen the preacher. He was animated this morning, right? I don't care about me. I care about the words that are being given to you to encourage you. He will never leave thee. He will never forsake thee. He is there by your side all the time. Today, we have looked at all that God has done for us. We should, and that's just in regards to salvation, right? We should reflect and give thanks to God for such a wonderful gift. We should shout it from the mountaintops. That's why I'm having trouble with y'all being quiet this morning, right? You should be shouting it. This is exciting stuff in your own way, okay? You're not all big mouths like I am. Good for the world. Look at her. She's laughing. She says, he sure is. We should share it with others. And in so doing, we remind ourselves. We need to rehearse this. This is good stuff, you know? In fact, I've even got this recorded, so maybe you want to hear it again, okay? If it effectively recorded. It should be a continual reminding refreshing our thoughts, giving thanks always. In fact, if we go to a couple more scriptures, as if we hadn't had enough already, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. That's the eat and go eat popcorn. Giving thanks always. Can you handle the next two words? For all things. Giving thanks for all things. That means because God has given us this great gift of salvation, I can even give thanks for the things that make me utterly miserable. For the oppression the world brings upon me. For the sin that constantly besets me. I can be thankful. I can give God praise. Say, Lord, you've reminded me of my sin, and I know now I can conquer. I know that you've atoned for my sins. I know that you're gonna separate me from my sins. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, not to me, not to Carol, not to Norma Jean, but to God and the Father. Here's the tricky part now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how many people believe this Bible to be true, but they don't believe that Jesus is true? They don't believe in the spiritual reality. They don't believe that if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be saved. Colossians 3:17 puts the same thing this way. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, in everything you do now, giving thanks to God and the Father. Look at this. Here it is again. By him. Do you see the instrumentality of Jesus Christ? He is the way that we are able to achieve this. It's only by faith in him that we can do this. And so if all of this is new to you, or you've heard it about it, listen to sermons about it, but you can't say that it's yours, then give thanks to God today for bringing you to an understanding of all the good news that is in the gospel, and be saved. My friends, if you've never been born again, don't say, well, I've been sitting in this church and everybody thinks that I'm saved and I'm not too certain. Hey, today is the day that God has given you. You've been seeing all the wonders of the gift of salvation that can be yours, but they're only yours if you're in him, if you believe in what he's done, if you see it as a finished work. You can be 90. You can be 19. It doesn't matter. You can be in church all your life. It doesn't matter. You must be born again to enjoy all those blessings, to be able to truly give thanksgiving for all that he's done, and not just intellectually knowing it, but personally experiencing it. What a world of difference that would be. So what does it take? Admit your need, that you want and need these things that have been listed. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be... It's that simple. But it takes a movement of the heart to get up and say yes. Believe in the provision for the need, that what Jesus did in leaving heaven and coming to earth, suffering and dying for your sins and raising from the grave, was to provide you, Y-O-U, yep, I'm pointing at you a new life. Praise God if you already know that and you've already experienced that, but if you haven't, now's the day. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, and he is a propitiation, wow, that's a big word, for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ came and he died on Calvary in order to reconcile the differences between God and all his righteous standards and man and his utter failure to meet them. He is the propitiation. He is the solution to the problem if we will simply but believe in him. And so with that being said, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to call upon God to apply that provision of Jesus Christ's sacrifice to you, to your life, to your heart, to your innermost being, so that you can be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If today you're here and you know that you've been made new, then you need to stand up and you need to praise God. You need to shout hallelujah for the greatest gift that man has ever known, the greatest gift that could ever be had. He has done all of that for you.
Amen.
And if you're uncertain, what a way to go into Thanksgiving with the certainty that God has saved you here today, because you've never fully put your trust in Him. Oh, maybe you took one piece, half a piece of this, half a piece of that, a little bit of this, wait a little bit of more time. You know, whatever magical formula you had that you were going to get saved, today is the day for you to be saved. And today's the day for you to start praising God for all the wonders of the great gift of salvation He has given to us. You ready for that? You're going to sit down for that? You're going to stand up and let's sing that last song, number 73.